What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots to talk about on the show this morning. We're talking, look, I think this transfer window is fast turning into a bit of a mess, if I'm being completely honest. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about this ridiculous policy that Ineos apparently have. It's in the mail this morning that they want to keep pulling rabbits out of hats and not spending big wages, not spending big transfer fees. I think it's absolutely bloody ridiculous. Also want to talk to you about the Martinez situation. I think that there are people who want to sell Martinez. I don't agree with that. I think they're trying to sort of, you know, for me, it's the foreign bias again, whereby, you know, people are trying to class Lisandro Martinez as Luke Shaw. Nothing like the Luke Shaw situation at all. I see Lisandro Martinez in a Man United shirt and I see a player that wants to play, who still has a lot to offer. I think Luke Shaw's past it. I think that's just lazy journalism, to be honest with you. I want to talk about Man United's inability to sell players as well. I mean, the Garnacho thing is laughable. If you've not seen that this morning, Chelsea are literally going to get more than what they paid for us from Villa if he does well on loan. They're going to get like 60 to 50 to 60 million euros, which is just, it just shows you, like, I look, fair play to Chelsea and maybe it'll work out at Villa, but it just goes to show you that we couldn't sell ice to somebody who likes ice, really, and Iceland. And the point is that this market that United don't want to spend in would be far easier to spend in if we could sell players. So I think that for me is something else I want to talk about as well. I want to talk about the Tchouaméni and Camavinga thing straight away. I don't like calling stuff out, but I think ultimately there's a lot of misinformation going out at the moment. People are guessing. Maybe these people were credible in the past and some people are believing them. So we'll talk about that as well. What about Tadarit Sarr? We'll talk about that. I want to talk about the Rashford situation and how that's embarrassing for Manchester United. I don't blame Rashford, but I think it's embarrassing for the club that sort of impacted us so badly. Charlie Roberts, welcome to Member of the Club. Thank you very much for that. Also want to talk about the Kone situation as well. But look, let me fly straight into it, because there was a piece in the Mail this morning basically saying that Daniel Thompson says, I hope everyone's doing well. He said, it said in the Mail, it said, Manchester United won't overpay on transfer fees and on wages. They want to keep pulling rabbits out of the hat to make the club progress, right? Now, this is scary to me. This is scary. And I did a video last night, recorded it, if you haven't checked it out. And I'm going to do another one tonight as a preview for the game against Rosenborg tomorrow. But this worries me, right? Because the only person that pulls rabbits out of the hat is a magician or a fraud. So if Man United want to keep pulling rabbits out of hats, they're either using magic, which doesn't exist, ladies and gentlemen, or they're frauds. Now, look, people are going, what's he talking about? If I'm doing a magic trick tonight down there at the bar, I can't really pull a rabbit out of the hat. I'll have some sort of fraudulent thing where I'm pulling it out of my coat up into the hat. Or I'm magic, which doesn't exist. So if you are a football club that your transfer policy is to try and keep pulling rabbits out of hats, you will fail. You will fail because you're reliant on being fraudulent or you're reliant on magic. And neither of those things are going to make you successful. So ultimately, after 2 years of Ineos, we are now pulling rabbits out of hats as a transfer policy. And ultimately, this is not a good idea. This is not what other clubs are doing. Now, The scary thing about this transfer window, in my opinion, is that the strategy is really clear. Tottenham are going to make quite a lot of money by selling players to buy players. You know, they'll get 50 million for Bergvall. They'll probably get 40 million for Romero. They'll probably get 40 million for Spence. That's over 130 million pounds straight away. Even Newcastle might not be able to buy anyone because no one wants to go there. But no, I'm not in Mallorca, Sam. I am in Spain, but I'm not in Mallorca. Normally I am, to be fair. Newcastle will probably make 50 to 100 million pounds on sales. They've already done 90 million with Tonali. United aren't selling anybody. We're not selling anybody. In fact, you've got Spurs selling players to buy. You've got Man City selling players to buy. You've got Newcastle selling players to buy. You've got Arsenal selling players to buy. You've got Chelsea selling players to buy. You've got Man United can't sell Rashford, so we'll bring him back and pretend it's a player that we want. And we all know it's not. I would say at the moment, Tielemans is a good signing. Santos could be a good signing. But what is the big signing for Manchester United this summer? Everyone's getting very excited about JJ Gabriel, who's like 15. And we're all getting excited about a new kit because that reminds me of a kit in the 80s when we were good. Ooh, that reminds me of a kit in the 90s when we were good. Ooh, let's get UK gold on. May as well knock one out to that as well. So I'm sort of like, what is there to get excited about with this summer transfer window at the moment? And the scary thing is, in the midst of the battle, you know, it's almost like you're fighting in the middle of a battle and then your leaders say, we haven't got any ammunition, but why don't you use some strong-hearted words and emails? And I'm like, that's not going to help me on the front line. You know, Man City, Arsenal, even bloody Chelsea, they've got the latest technology in, you know, transfer warfare, and you want me to write a strongly worded email. It's just not... We're not fighting on a level playing field. And look, I'm not even like... this is just very strategically and analytical. This is not like I'm, you know, jumping around the balcony, which would be very dangerous. Don't do it. We are three floors up. But, you know, ultimately, there are fans out there that try and find the positive in everything. And when there isn't actually many things to be positive about, we are putting out on what? July the 23rd, that we will not overpay. We will not overpay on wages. We will keep trying to pull rabbits out of the hat. And I'm like, this is not going to work. And, you know, also another strategy from Man United that's very, very clear as well. What have we done in the last couple of days? We've stolen Eze from Man City, not the Eze who plays for Arsenal, some kid called Eze. We're also going to do it with Liverpool as well. We're stealing another kid from Liverpool. I mean, what are we? Are we a football club or a kindergarten? Because, yeah, look, Man United have been signing 16, 17-year-olds for bloody years. Very few of them actually make it into the first team, and very few of them are actually ready for the first team. And that's their big news. That's the big news, isn't it? The big news is, oh, we've stolen Eze. But it's not Arsenal's Eze. It's some kid. So, you know, and look, I can't read your name, but someone says moan, moan, moan. Mate, there's plenty of propaganda channels you can go and knock one out to if you want to. But unfortunately, for 10 years, we've been very real. The club is a mess at the moment. We've all seen what was shared by the Red Army, the 58. I've not had a chance to talk about this yet, but the club is an absolute disgrace. It stinks of a festering turd. The way it's treating fans over those season tickets, which we were talking about before, the increase in ticket prices. Let's not pretend that this football club needs protecting. The way it treats the fans is disgusting. The way it's treating the manager is disgusting. The way it's trying to be ambitious is disgusting. You know, if you think this is moaning, mate, I would more say that you're probably a bot than anything else, because this is not acceptable. And like I said, look, let's talk about some of the news. But that was in the news this morning. That was literally in the Daily Mail this morning. But United won't overpay. They won't overpay on wages, and they want to keep pulling rabbits out of the hat. I've just never heard such a stupid strategy in my life. They want to keep pulling rabbits out of hats. I mean, I'd be embarrassed by that. I'd be embarrassed by that. You know, if my staff came up to me and said, I've not had a pay rise in 10 years, and, you know, everyone else around us in our industry is spending a lot of money on their staff. And I went, well, you know what? If you're lucky, I might pop down Tesco and get us a big family pack of Haribo to share out at Christmas. It's laughable. As you know, it's the same as saying, well, let's see if we can pull a rabbit out of the hat. I mean, do you really think Man City are going in their boardroom, we can't afford, we're not paying for that. Let's see, you know, maybe Calvin Phillips will have a go up. You know, it's just not ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And as Patrick says, and Patrick's comment on the video from last night was very good, actually. Got loads of likes. But he said, lack of ability to sell is multi-tiered. High wages setting too high a price tag. Trying to sell underperforming injury-prone players with no sell-on value, but are the players we get capable of performing to get that? Well, look, there's no resale value with Tielemans. Tielemans has got no resale value. That's a long contract where there's no resale value. So we've sort of contradicted ourselves there. But look, let me talk to you about Tchouaméni and Camavinga. So it's really interesting. I almost feel like you take a week off and people jump into the hole to try and find credibility. We've been very good this summer. We've been very lucky this summer. We've had some really good information this summer, and it hasn't stopped. So I didn't do any live content yesterday, of course. Cheers to Terry and Beth, but I'm back doing the morning shows now for the rest of the week. And I'll be doing a preview later. But essentially, what I was getting messages about yesterday was we have got Ben Jacobs and Beth this afternoon as well, which I'm looking forward to. Always look forward to that show. Might have it with a sangria at the bar. And anyway, look, enough of that. I saw a lot of stuff yesterday about Camavinga and Tchouaméni. And people were sending me tweets and people were sending me, this person's been credible in the past. Please do share the video, by the way, if you're liking the background, and smash a like on the video. Hopefully the connection's good. It's difficult sometimes to gamble on a live content when it's easy to do pre-record, but I love doing live content. So yeah, a lot of people last night were saying that Tchouaméni talks, and I even saw somebody sharing a WhatsApp message. And with all due respect to that person, they're quite good about injury news, but transfer news, I know for a fact you don't know anything about Tchouaméni, because I know where I'm getting the Tchouaméni information from. And it's literally a star. So to see WhatsApps about Tchouaméni could happen and this, that, and the other, it's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. I'm sorry. And look, it's hard for me. It's not hard for me, is it? It's not hard for me to call people out. I've always done it. But it's hard to call people out when, you know, some people want to believe them. But the cold, harsh fact is, and I tweeted it last night, and luckily since then, Romano has come out and sort of confirmed it. Tchouaméni's agreed a new deal with Real Madrid. The wage is massive. I literally said this to you last night. He's not on 210 grand a week anymore. He's on about, well, I can't even say. It's a lot of money. So if Manchester United, I think a lot of people are going, if Real Madrid sign Rodri, they'll try and sell Tchouaméni to Manchester United. Well, they might do that. The problem is, if they try and sell Tchouaméni to Manchester United, he has his new deal. So he will want that wage. Man United didn't want to pay 210 grand. They're not going to pay 350 grand or 300 grand. So it's over. Tchouaméni to Manchester United is not happening. But people keep talking about it. Now, what I've always said is, in this market, you can never, ever say never. But there's nothing of credibility around Tchouaméni. But what worries me is, and I think this is a really good point, and it needs discussing, is for all this talk about Tchouaméni or Camavinga or Belaiba or Berg or Kone, where were we last week? Last week, it was two. It was Kone and the secret midfielder. Where are we this week, a week on? We're now talking about four or five people, aren't we? And that, to me, is a big problem, because you know what? What are we actually doing with this midfielder? Or is it just tactics around, you know, trying to just regurgitate stuff to buy time? Because we've seen that tactic before. Sam says, the value of a player should be how successful they make the team, not how much they can sell for. Shows that we're a financial institution, not a football club. Thank you very much, Sam. So look, in relation to Tchouaméni, John also says, Shaw wouldn't even start for my native club, Dinamo Zagreb. United need a left-back, midfielder and a winger, and we didn't even get competes half of the transfers that we need. Exactly, Sam. Sorry, John. And this is my point. There's nothing more frustrating than seeing stuff sent to you about Tchouaméni, knowing we're not doing anything. But that's the big story. And look, I'm enjoying the break. It's long overdue. But you sat there and you're going, I would have liked to have been reacting to something big here. I would like to be grabbing the phone and going, well, you know, but what's actually happened this week is next to nothing in relation to moving the story forward. And we're actually going backwards. We're going back to Tchouaméni, which was dead a month ago. You know, we're going back to that again, and people are regurgitating it, which makes me know they don't know anything. They're just trying to write articles in their newspaper. But Tchouaméni can't happen because the wage is too high now. Doesn't mean he won't leave Real Madrid. I mean, I would, you know, I wouldn't say it would happen, but if Man City sold Rodri to Real Madrid and then they said to Tchouaméni, you're for sale, he'd probably go to somewhere who can pay him 250, 300 grand a week, which wouldn't be us. So he could still leave, but the plan's on a dartboard, says Paul. It does feel like that at the moment. And as for Camavinga, well, there's nothing new there either. Camavinga would be very expensive. His wages would be very high. And he wants to stay at Real Madrid. And, you know, last night you've got this 2-hour period of, yeah, we are in for Tchouaméni. And yeah, we are in for Camavinga. And you sat there going, fucking hell. I'm a Michael J. Fox. Have I gone back to the future? Like, there is nothing to report around those players at all. What worries me is that United are not getting control of the situation. Now, when the Romero story came out, within 12 hours, we're not in for Romero. The Tielemans story came out really quick, didn't it? Santos happened really quick. What worries me about United is this third midfielder, which in many people's eyes and mine is the big midfielder. We're hearing things about we won't overpay again. We're hearing things about we don't want to pay more than £50 million. We're hearing things about Tchouaméni and Camavinga again. Even Belaiba yesterday. And you sort of go, yeah, I've seen this movie before. This doesn't bode well for Manchester United because we're talking about players that we've been linked to a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago. Whereas a week ago, it was Kone and the secret midfielder, who we now believe is Alex Scott. But they've gone really quiet. And what I know with Kone is we've had the talks, but we're stalling. What are we stalling for? Are we stalling because, well, look, ultimately, I think we're stalling because we don't really know what to do. I think with Tielemans, he wasn't the player we wanted, but we've done quite good business. I think with Santos, he wasn't the player that we wanted, but we've done quite good business. I think with the third midfielder, they know it's the last midfielder, and they're sort of like, shit, this wasn't the player we wanted. We need to get somebody decent. And then it's like, well, we can't afford it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'd be much happier if we just went and got Kone and moved on to left back. You know, I can accept that it's not the midfield that we wanted, but in the circumstances, it's not particularly badly balanced. And I will die on this hill or balcony that Kone, Tielemans and Santos and Mainoo, I would expect to get top five with that. And look, ultimately, that's not what I want, but there's a boat going past behind. Is it a boat? I don't know what it is. You can see it. It's symbolic that it's the pace of Man United's transfer window, and it's the boat we're using, slow and tiny. In a minute, Chelsea's yacht will come flying past. Smokescreen in the press are fine if we actually get the targets that improve the squad. Tielemans was a hit, but the lack of urgency is worrying, says Sam. Every year, we're going to say we need this and this. How many times have we come out of the transfer window saying we got everything we needed? Certainly not in the last 5 years, says Emily Derry. Hope you're doing well, Emily. I think, look, thanks for sharing the video, everybody. It's still moving, look. I think by the end of the video, it'll probably go past my left shoulder. Look.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I struggle to see, again, how, and I don't remember the last time I gave a transfer window a high score. I struggle to see again how we're going to end up with a good transfer window, if I'm being honest. I struggle at the moment to see it. It's hard. Forget all about winning the Premier League in 2028. Man United hierarchy trying to moneyball their way to top four or five. It's obvious. Look, you know what, Debra? I'll say this very quickly because there's a lot to get through on the show. I want to talk about Garnacho. I want to talk about Martinez. But obviously, the midfield is really important. If you've tuned in a little bit late, story in the Mail this morning saying United won't overpay on wages and transfers. They want to pull rabbits out of the hat. As I said, thing about pulling rabbits out of the hat, only magicians and fraudsters do that. One's a fake, one's magic. What is it, fake or is it magic? Magic doesn't exist, so what a crap strategy that is. But what I will say is that I think that with regards to this window, we're getting regurgitation now in relation to transfer stories. Tchouaméni and Camavinga just aren't happening. It's gone quiet around Kone, which could have been done last week. Scott is out of our price range, so yet again, it looks like we're not going to get the player we want in Scott, and we are stalling on the player we should just go and get when there are plenty of other things to do, like left back, winger, striker. I think we could have had a really exciting transfer window with ambition. I was having this chat with someone in the bar last night. I said, they were a Spurs fan, actually. Shout out to them. And they were saying about Tonali and Fernandes. And he was saying what a great goal Fernandez scored in pre-season. And I went, yeah, it could be a pre-season Pirlo. And it was a good goal. But I said, look, at least Spurs are showing ambition. Man United, we could have had a summer transfer window of, let's say, Edison, Fernandez, Tonali. That would have been an exciting midfield three. You get a left back, you get a left winger, and you go, you know what? 6, 7 out of 10. Ambition, exciting. Let's see what Carrick can do. And even then you'd be going, well, I don't know whether Carrick's going to do well. What we've ended up with is we don't know whether Carrick can do very well. He's got two midfielders that, you know, could be decent, but aren't the most exciting. Haven't got the third one in, haven't got a left back, haven't got a winger. It's a shit window so far. You can say that. It's a shit window. Also, the way the club are treating the fans is disgusting around these season tickets and the ticket prices. I mean, you sometimes look at it and you go, the ingredients for an overhaul are huge, absolutely huge. And yet we sit there going, I like the new kit. Oh, I like the new kit because it reminds me of when United were good. Daniel Thompson says the boardroom pulling a rabbit out of the hat is like a vegan working in a butcher's. Sorry, Daniel, I don't know what happened there. In a butcher's, it's not happening and they need to stop excuses, spin, get Kone or Scott and then onto the left back. They are making Carrick's job impossible. Yeah, well, another pre-season game tomorrow. And I know it's early days in the pre-season, but they will whiz through very, very, very quickly. Gavin says, we're using Brighton as our benchmark, so grab their scouts and use their model. Yeah, but you know what, Gavin? The Brighton model will not work at Manchester United. We need to be really clear about that. We're Manchester United, we're not Brighton. Moneyball doesn't work with Manchester United. Slazy says, weird thing is, I've heard no rumours about who Carrick actually wants. I feel the club should have chased whoever he wants, even if it's Belieber or Berg. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Let me just talk to you about something here, right? This, to me, makes me want to stand up and prove this is not a green screen. Ooh, that was good. So, hey, and you say we're not big budget. Now, some people will say that was a coincidence. Some people will say he stood up at the right time for the flyby. Now, you can make your own minds up. Now, budgets are going up since Gary came along. That was Gary. He was waving, if you look. So, you know, we're doing live streams from beautiful balconies. We've got Gary Neville flying by on a helicopter. Yeah, try and deal with that full-time Devils. They've already fell off, to be fair. They even changed their name, but they're never going to compete with that, are they? Media around Madrid, in fact, forget them. Sky Sports, try and do that. Yeah, we had the exclusive on Tillemans. We had the exclusive on Kone. Now we've got flybys by Gary Neville on a live stream. What have you got? What have you got? Media around, and fairness, Sky actually broke something quite good the other day. Media around Madrid, Bayern, etc. would never allow the clubs fade the way Man United have, except there was a major scandal. We behave like Juventus, who would do better with our fan base and commercial revenue, says Red Boss. Well, actually, you know what? One of the bar staff last night was an AC Milan fan. And that's Man City going past. Yeah, that's probably Bouadi flying from Morocco, which is over there, to Manchester. And he's probably said, Goldbridge is doing a live stream on the coast of Spain. Let's drive past and do that. It wasn't Gary waving. It was Bouadi going past like that. Which is symbolic, again, of United's transfer window, isn't it? Flybys of better signings going to better, you know, what will be better clubs because we're unambitious. Make sure you share the video. By the way, we've got nearly 10,000 watching. Thanks for tuning in this morning. A bit of a different show, but we like to do that. The tree goes up at Christmas and we like to try and get out and about when we can. Carrick was under Ollie. Would you worry if Rashford stays? I don't like the Rashford thing, Mike. I'll talk about that in a minute. But you know what? I have to bring this up. The Garnacho thing is embarrassing. It really is. So we sell Garnacho for £40 million and we start professing that we're the bomb squad. You know, you've got Wilcox and co, you know, acting like they're bloody Don Corleone. You know, you mess around with us, you're sleeping with the fishes in the sea. The bomb squad's here. Yeah. Rashford, Garnacho, Rasmus, Sancho. Hey, we are the Don Wilcox crew. We will remove you from the bomb squad. Rashford's coming back. So he's literally coming back. So, yeah, you didn't do anything there. And Garnacho, you sold for £40 million, has a shit season and goes for more than £40 million to Villa. I mean, how, you know, I don't think anybody's going to report this, but I am. How do we sell Garnacho for £40 million? And I said at the time it wasn't enough. We sell Garnacho for £40 million. He has an absolute stinker of a season at Chelsea. I mean, Rory Jennings is literally saying it's one of the biggest moments in football history, removing him from Chelsea. He's so happy. They do it for a profit. He's literally been an absolute flop and they've sold him for a profit. Now, I'm going to say, well done to Chelsea, but what does that say about us? We can't sell. So if Chelsea can sell Garnacho for more than they bought him and he's had a flop, he's flopped, did we undersell? Or are we just fucking useless? I mean, it's incredible. We are so bad at selling. How does a player go for £40 million and they celebrate, oh, look at the bomb squad, a year later after him flopping, he's going for more money? And I know he's got to do the loan thing first, but that's even worse because the loan ends 2 years after he signed for Man United. So he's 2 years into the contract. So that fee should be coming down, not going up. It's mad to me. Music for everyone out there says, buy only prospects, look at only value deals, unable to achieve plan A to G, can't sell Deadwood, raise ticket prices, all in the Champions League season after being out for 2 years is mad. It's disheartening. Why are things not happening? Why are protests not happening? Why is there not a red knight coming through saying, let me save this football club? I'm a multi-billionaire. You know, we're desperate for change. We, you know, like somebody just said, are we trying to operate a Brighton model? Because if we are, that's not going to work at Man United. It's just not going to work at Man United. We blew the Garnacho sale by showing our hands, says Sam. But you know what? Last summer, the bomb squad, some of these prats who are still out there defending the club, were saying Wilcox madness, right? Wilcox, Berada, right? Rashford is an embarrassment. Not him, but he's coming back and we can't buy a winger now. Garnacho, 40 million, has just been sold for more than that. After a flop year, Sancho's walking out the door for free. He's earned hundreds of millions of pounds out of Man United. Well, about 120 million. There was no bomb squad. It wasn't the bomb squad. It was the make-believe squad. It was the joke squad. It never actually happened. It's one of the biggest pieces of spin, and the club are brilliant at spin. But that bomb squad doesn't actually exist. Even Maney was in the bomb squad. He never went. Who was in the bomb squad? Garnacho, who Chelsea have just sold for more than we sold him for after a flop year. Rashford, who's coming back. Sancho, who ran his contract down. And Maynou, who wasn't even in it. The bomb squad didn't even happen. It didn't even happen. Jason Wilcox, official, says, you're fake unlike me. If it's not green screen, then jump over that ledge. Jason, be very careful. You'll be getting in trouble with YouTube and stuff like that. Right, I've got to get through quite a lot here. We've got nearly 9,000 people watching, so please do share the video. Let's see if we can get to 10. And please do share the video, because whenever I go live off my phone, it just doesn't seem to share the notifications. So if you could do that, it would be great. I'm just going through what else I've got to talk about here before we get into some of your comments. Oh, I want to talk about Martinez. Right. I have heard some absolute nonsense about Lisandro Martinez over the last week. Right. I've seen people doing videos. I've been sent clips of that. I've seen tweets. I think this anti-foreign player stuff comes right to the surface as soon as there's an inkling that they can go in at a player. So he's basically been rechristened as the new Luke Shaw now because he got injured in the World Cup. And we should be getting rid of him, right? Harry Maguire gets injured quite a lot now. We renewed his contract on the same wage. How did that get missed, by the way? Everybody last season, when they were talking about keeping Maguire for another year, was saying, well, only if he reduces his wage. He didn't reduce his wage. So we gave Maguire a new contract on pretty much the same wage. That was what was reported. We've also got Luke Shaw, who's 31 and, you know, is crap, but also on a big wage. And then you've got Lisandro Martinez, who's still in his late 20s, has had a couple of injuries, admittedly, but is without doubt our best ball-playing defender. And you've had this week people saying, you know what, it needs to be said, Martinez needs to go. We need to move Martinez on. You know, if we move Martinez on, you know where he'll go? Barcelona or Atletico Madrid. And then he's just been in the World Cup team of the tournament. There is potential issues around injury that we need to get the bottom of. But if he goes somewhere else, they will get to the bottom of those issues. And he is on a different level to Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire currently when it comes to ability. And also he has something that you can't really buy in the modern game. And that is dedication, motivation, aggression. It is not the time to be removing Lisandro Martinez, but it is the time to be calling out these prats who are trying to christen him the new Luke Shaw. I would say to those people, is that because he doesn't have a British passport? Because it seems to me, with people like Bruno Fernandes, Anthony Martial, David De Gea, if there's an inch of a chance to go in on a foreign player, there's a very, very, very consistent few who do it every chance they get. And they create this noise. Last time I checked, we've just spent half an hour talking about how Man United might be miles off winning a Premier League title. And we're talking about selling one of our best players. You know? We're talking about selling one. And he's a problem in the dressing room. Why? I've never heard that Martinez is a problem in the dressing room. Never once have I heard anything bad about Martinez. In fact, quite the contrary. He's well-liked in the dressing room. And most players say how important he is to the way that the team want to play as well. So I'm sort of baffled as to why there seems to be a bit of momentum at the moment around removing Lisandro Martinez from a Manchester United squad. We need to be holding on to talent, not removing it. Now, look, I will admit, I literally said, if he gets another injury, it's a problem. But, you know, you have the discussion. You have the discussion, don't you? Now, look, I may have said, if he gets another long-term injury, what are we going to do? This is not a long-term injury. This was a precautionary substitution because he felt a muscle. I think you bring him back and you look at him and you figure out what the problem is, but you don't cash in on a player because if someone's willing to buy him, why are we selling him? You know, we need to be building with team players like this. I mean, are you telling me next season you want to go ahead with Harry Maguire in a back four over Lisandro Martinez? Are you telling me you want to buy a centre-back? Well, you know, that might be a conversation. If you say to me, we're selling Lisandro Martinez and we're buying Schlotterbeck from Dortmund, hey, let's have the conversation. But before we do that, can you just tell me how the midfield's going this summer, which we've known about for 12 months? I mean, are you genuinely telling me, let's get rid of Lisandro Martinez to sign somebody else? Because I will laugh in your face and say, yeah, Casemiro's gone. We haven't replaced him yet. So if it's selling Martinez to buy somebody, you are playing a very dangerous game. You better have somebody already at the club. So, I mean, look, Sahaj says he'd get rid of him because of the Falkland stuff. Here we go. It's another flyby.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
All right, Gary. I don't know whether you saw that one. It's not Gary, it's Boadi taking the piss before he goes to Man City. We're just a banter club. We will sell Martinez for 20 million because United can't sell, says Daniel. Yeah, look, I wouldn't be getting rid of Martinez because one, I think he's our best centre-back with De Ligt. But two, we wouldn't replace him anyway. We would go, Mazraoui can play centre-back, Luke Shaw can play centre-back. We've got Yoro, Heaven, Maguire, De Ligt, Mazraoui can play there. Luke Shaw can play there. We don't need a centre-back. So we wouldn't even replace him anyway, in my opinion. So I wouldn't be looking to do that, to be honest with you. Not at all. Let me talk to you about the Rashford thing. Thanks for all your comments this morning, by the way. It could be Coxie in a Black Hawk helicopter. He'd miss anyway. Imagine if it was Wilcox and he hovered around there and went, take him out. What about all the other civilians? Don't care. He wouldn't do this. We're just having a joke, by the way. But no, we've got a missile that will just take Goldbridge out. Do it. Jason, I'm not willing to do that. He's a great broadcaster. He's just done a massive deal with Gary Neville. Some of the stuff they're doing, it's going to be amazing. Give it me. I'll fire it. He would hit. I'm in Spain. He'd hit Iceland. I'd be all right. I'd turn around and go, come on then. Have it, Wilcox. He'd be there with his gear stick. He'd go, say your last words. And it would just go flying up the other way. And I'd go, mate, you've missed again. Couldn't hit the ocean from a boat. But imagine, I tell you what, that would be great content. Jason Wilcox just hovering behind me in a Black Hawk down helicopter. Like that, with an angry face. He'd be wearing sunglasses as well. Angry face. And then you'd be all like, he's behind you, he's about to shoot. And I'd go, watch where it goes. You wouldn't see where it went. It would miss by so much. He wouldn't do it anyway. Imagine the cost of the missile. He'd be like, we can't afford it. I will not pay for this missile. Can we get a big water gun? Get a water gun and we'll try and drown him. Yeah, but we haven't got the pressure. It doesn't matter. We might get lucky. He might be allergic to water. Throw a rabbit at him. I've got a rabbit out of my hat. Throw a rabbit at him. You won't reach, Jason, and it might die. And even if it hits him, what's it going to do? It's just going to want to cuddle. Sunrise's Army says, Mark, Mount is British as well, but everyone talked about his injuries and selling him. No one talks about that, do they? Long-term, yeah, well, yeah, exactly, Sunrise's Army. You've got people saying, let's sell this Andre Martinez. You've got Luke Short. You've got Mason Mount, who's basically being paid 250 grand a week for pre-season games and kit modelling. You know, he's the best paid male model in the UK because that's all he does, just models the new kit. You can imagine, can't you? Carrick, we've got another new kit coming out. Don't worry, you can use Mason Mount. We should be talking. Look, even though Mason Mount's had a load of injuries, if he was at Chelsea, they'd still sell him for 50 million quid today. If he was at Man City, they'd still sell him for 50 million quid. We couldn't get 50p for him, to be honest. If you keep calling me Coxie and making fun of me, I will sue you. Cease now or else, as Jason. It'd be boring, Jason. You were a bit funny before, but you're boring now. You need to get up to the level of that banter I was just doing there. I did want to talk about the Rashford thing momentarily. I think people have been skirting around the issue with Rashford a little bit. I don't blame what Rashford's doing, by the way. He's on... I can hear him. This could be it. I can hear something. It might be Wilcox this time. Look, Marcus Rashford's got 2 years left on his contract. He's on 300 grand a week. And nobody wants him. What are you going to do? I don't want to play for Man United. They're a bunch of knobheads. That's the worst thing he could do. I love Man United. I've always loved Man United. I never wanted to leave. I'm going to come back and work really hard. We're all going to do that. If he does anything that breaches his contract, they won't pay him. So Marcus Rashford coming back to Man United because nobody else wants him is absolutely normal. The PR game, everything, right? For Man United, this is an absolute embarrassment, right? They wanted to buy a winger and they wanted to buy a forward. They can't buy either because Rashford's coming back on a wage they don't want to pay. So now they're going, well, we never wanted Rashford to go anyway, despite the whole world knowing that you did and despite the whole world knowing that you don't want him back. So I think for Man United, it's massively... It's not problematic if he comes back and scores and we will all celebrate, but it must be remembered that Man United strategy, big bollocks, Billy Big Bollocks strategy, bomb squad strategy was to remove Rashford and they thought they'd done it and Rashford's won and United have lost big, big time. This was not part of their plan and it just goes to show you and it needs to be said, look at the Rashford situation. Don't blame Rashford. Look at the club. They forced him out of the club. They wanted him out of the club to get his wages out of the club and he's coming back. What does that say if you work somewhere and your boss says, they're a problem, I'm going to get rid of them, watch this. And then a year later, they come back with all the power. your boss looks a twat, basically. You know, you've got no authority. And that's what's happened with United here. They can spin it however they like. But we all know they didn't want Rashford back. We all know they wanted him out. And now, you can just imagine how it's winding up the Glazers and Sir Jim Radcliffe, because they will hate paying somebody 300 grand a week who's not really a starter anymore either. It will be destroying them. And they've got to smile and pretend, this is what we wanted. This is what we wanted. If we're going well in the top four next year, watch as they sneak in a new contract for Luke Shaw, says Red Boss. To be honest, I haven't really spoken about Carrick a lot recently, because it's not the time to talk about Carrick. Pre-season, tactics, whatever, transfers, whatever, bringing Rashford back, whatever. But Carrick will be open season the minute the Premier League starts. And if he keeps Luke Shaw in the team and he keeps Harry Maguire in the team and he starts picking Rashford over Cunha, then I think Carrick's just another Ollie. I think he's just another guy who is going to try and survive on vibes, really. But it's not the time to be, you know, thinking about that with Carrick at the moment. It's too early. And look, obviously, I hope he's going to show a bit of a backbone. But if Carrick shows the same as Solskjaer, I mean, what were the club doing giving him the job anyway? You know, I think the style of play was very similar to Solskjaer. I think the managerial style was very similar to Solskjaer. And if he ends up being like Solskjaer, what's the point? You know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. What else have I got to write about here? Anything in the chat? Is there any topic you want me to talk about? Kone, very, very quickly on Kone. So, yeah, if you've tuned in a little bit late, there was a load of people last night talking about Chimini. It's a load of bollocks. Camavinga, it's a load of bollocks. As of now, it's a load of bollocks. We're not in talks with Real Madrid. We're not in talks with either player. Camavinga wants to stay at Real Madrid, and Chimini wants to stay at Real Madrid, and both are on big wages, and United wouldn't be able to afford the wages, let alone the transfer fee. So it's worrying that we're being linked to players that we can't get, because we should be linked to players that we're trying to get. A week ago, I really did think Kone was going to happen. I think it still can happen, but we're going to have to move soon on that. Like, we have to move quickly on that, because there are other options on the table for Kone who wants to get moving with his career. What else Man United might be doing? I mean, look, one good thing, and I said it to you, is that because Chelsea bid £64 million for Scott and it got refused straight away, they want 80 minimum. We won't pay 80. So forget about it. And it's like bidding on something that you know everyone else is going to bid for and it's going to be expensive when there's something on the shelf you can get now. If you don't take that and you miss out on that, you end up with nothing. So I just think we need a left back. We need a left back. That's what we need. And I would just go and get Kone now. I'm not saying it's going to necessarily work with Tielemans, Santos and Kone, but we can blame the club for that. We can't blame ourselves. My midfield, what was your midfield? What was your dream midfield? What was your realistic midfield? I expected us to get Edison, Mateus Fernandes and probably Tonali. We didn't get any of them. Obviously, the Edison one, I understand. Santos, Tielemans and Kone, I don't think it would be on anybody's list. Selfish Bruno, what's that all about? But at least we'd have three midfielders and we can judge the club on that. I don't think anybody's going to dance around with their top off to Kone, Tielemans and Santos, but I think everybody would go, it's three midfielders, let's hope it works. If it doesn't work, we know where the blame lies. But you don't know, we don't know that yet. But I want a left back. I mean, I'm hearing about now that we might put Yoro at right back so we can use Mazraoui at left back. You know what I mean? We're not buying a left winger because Rashford's staying. We're not buying a forward because Rashford's staying. And now we're not buying a left back because Mazraoui's going to left back and Yoro's going to right back. I mean, you know, what's happening? What's happening at his football club? I mean, look, we have to keep an eye on that. It might not happen. There's still a long time left in the window. But if you tell me our summer transfer window is Santos, Tielemans, Kone, and that's it, I'm that shit. And that's no reflection on Santos, Tielemans and Kone. It's just not this summer we were expecting. And also, where's the left back? Where's the winger? Where's the striker? It wouldn't be good enough, in my opinion. Would you take Jed Spence? On his Spurs form, no. On his early England form in the World Cup, no. In his knockout form in the World Cup, it was very good. And he's better than Luke Shaw. So what would you rank? What would you do? Sorry, somebody in the chat just said, whizzed through. What would you rank Tielemans, Kone and Santos out of 10 if that was all we got? So no left back, no striker. Kone, Tielemans and Santos, and that's it. Three, because there's no left back, there's no winger, there's no striker, there's no centre back, there's no right back. And the midfield three, whilst I'd give them all a chance, aren't the players we were talking about in May or April. So it'd have to be a three. Yeah, it'd have to be a three. I can't see. Somebody just gave it a five. I don't even know how you go that high, mate. Fair play. I don't know. And, you know, the worrying thing is that this club right now needs overthrowing. Like, it won't happen, but it does. The ticket price rises are a disgrace. The way season ticket holders are being treated is a disgrace. The knocking down of Old Trafford is a disgrace, and it's a money grab for rich people. I mean, basically, the regeneration of Old Trafford is just a money grab for billionaires, whether that's governmental or Sir Jim Radcliffe or the Glazers or local business people. That is not going to benefit the ordinary working person. That is going to benefit billionaires and millionaires because they will own everything. You will maybe get a job there. You may even get a house there, but you would pay for that to those rich people. So this, you know, you need to call this bollocks out sometimes. Oh, the regeneration is going to create loads of jobs and loads of houses. All those jobs will pay tax. All those houses will be owned by other people. You know, most of them will be landlords. And also, those things will need to be bought. So, you know, the regeneration of Old Trafford is just a cash grab. The knocking down of Old Trafford is just a cash grab. And we're only knocking it down because the Glazers ran it into the ground. And let me tell you something, right? This is a very, 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 very common tactic of landowners. If you get hold of a bit of land and it's got something on it that people like and you want to knock it down to build it for something that's going to make you money, what you do with that thing that everyone likes is you let it go into disrepair. So if you are a landowner and you buy a local pub that everybody likes, and they find out you want to knock it down, you've got no chance. However, if you don't invest in that pub and you let its reputation go down, that, people won't care. So, yeah, we've got ticket prices increasing. We've got season ticket holders being treated like shit. You know, literally mental health issues because they've got a season ticket for 20 years and now they haven't. You've got Old Trafford being knocked down. You've got a transfer policy, which, I mean, I don't even know if it's Everton's now. You know, we're turning fullbacks into centre-backs into fullbacks. We're buying option D, E and F midfielders. We're bringing players back that we thought we'd sold. You know, we're weaker than an ant's fart, our transfer policy. On every level, we're weak. We lose to Spurs on incomings. We sell people that then come back, like Rashford. We're just weak. I look at it and go, there's not a better time. If there was a multi-billionaire out there to say, I want to buy Man United, and everyone would get behind them. But there's no one there. So we're stuck with this, aren't we? We could maybe survive without another midfielder, but without a left-back, we're doomed. We need left-back more than any other position, says Parish. Yeah, look, Mazraoui can play at left-back, but he's not an overlapping left-back. Yoro can play at right-back, but he's not an overlapping right-back. So anybody that thinks we can get by with Mazraoui and Shaw on the left and Delo and Yoro on the right, where's the fullback? Where's the attacking fullback there? They can do a job, probably more defensively, but where's the Mendes? Where's the Hakimi? You know, where's the Anthony Robinson? You need a fullback that can get forward, you know? I think that's the interesting thing for me. Ash says, have you seen the Kone news? I've seen a lot of stuff coming out from Italy. Obviously, if I get anything from our... let me get rid of Matt Butler.
There we go. Hi, Matt.
I've seen a lot about Italian reports and Carine, but I think a lot of that's about Roma posturing to try and get the deal done. But as Dan said, like, maybe Mazraoui and Yoro as fullbacks is what Carrick wants, defensive counter-attacking football incoming. I mean, that's, look, again, that's not something I'm going to talk about now. But what is the style of play next season with this manager? What is it? Is it going to be forward thinking? What do you think about Zaire Emery? Mate, I, as I said to you, if you watched the video I did in the early hours, I don't know where that's coming from. I can probably find out, but I don't know anything about that. I mean, if we genuinely are in for Zaire Emery, fair play, but I don't know anything about it, really. Look, I want to say thank you to everybody this morning. To get 50 minutes done with a scrap of paper and a small screen is not as easy as doing it at home with multiple screens and access to everything. So we've obviously had a good show this morning if I could keep talking and talking and talking. So legends as always. I don't know how I've done 50 minutes. It's sometimes very difficult to do even 10 when you've only got your life, when you've only got your phone in front of you. So thank you everybody this morning. We have got Beth and Ben at 2 today. We've got an 8 o'clock show for you. I've got a preview, which I'll be doing from the balcony for the game tomorrow. We've got a watch along tomorrow as well. So enjoy your week. I'll be thinking about you later when I'm having me sangria, and I'll be watching the what time's that? Beth and Ben, 2 o'clock. Ooh, 3 o'clock's when I start. That's me on the hotel bar with the phone, with the camera. I'll be in the live chat. Speak to you in a bit. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. I'll speak to you in a bit. How do I finish this off?
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.